Brett Ubbs of VolQuest.com. Hey, week out from National Signing Day, a little bit of activity going on with volunteers the last week or so, Brent.
Yeah, I mean, this is the time you got to close if you're Tennessee, and Tennessee's trying to do that. Josh Heupel is out on the West Coast this morning. He was in Las Vegas last night for the induction ceremony for Al Wilson, and he will visit with Keontae Scott, who is a junior college defensive back from Utah. We'll visit with Scott's mom as well and trying to close there. Tennessee's one of the three finalists for him. Caleb Webb is on the docket to see later this week. Tennessee is a finalist there. I think he may do something before the end of the week, but we'll have to wait and see. He is the wide receiver from Georgia who was committed to East Carolina, who has decommitted, and Tennessee and Michigan are really the two finalists for him. And then Tennessee's trying to close with some defensive linemen as well. And so it is a busy time. It's a busy weekend and a final visit weekend and a busy couple of days with the coaches making their final run in terms of in-home visits before you have to be off the road Sunday.
And by design, you use that word defense and defensive a lot in that comment, and that's obviously the side that Tennessee is stressing on right now, that and speed and things like that. I asked you a moment ago, just to get you ready for the question about it, I didn't realize that it is seven the maximum number of players that you can have come into your program during a recruiting cycle through the transfer portal?
Well, the rule that's out there is that you can replace up to seven guys that you lose.
Okay.
Okay, so if you lose seven guys to the transfer portal, you can add seven guys above your 25 signees if you have room on the 85. Now, if you want to sign 10 high school kids and take 20 transfers, then you can do that. Mm. But in terms of signing a full class of 25 from the high school, junior college ranks, regular signees, the maximum number of transfers you can take on top of that number of 25 is seven, which would take you to 32. But the caveat for that is you have to stay under your 85 limit, which is why most people are not going to end up with 32 signees on a regular basis, because you're always factoring in transfers to stay under the 85 in order to sign 25 kids. Because in a four-year period, that's 100 kids if you sign 25, and that's too many to have in your program to stay under the 85 number. So you're always battling that 85 number and kids transferring out, medicaling out, whatever the case may be, helps you get back to 25. I don't think, when you have coaching transitions and a bunch of guys transfer, then you might see some schools with 30, 32 guys. I don't think you're going to see that on a regular basis. I think you're going to see schools somewhere probably around 28 at the max on most given years. I think in this class, Tennessee's looking somewhere between 25 and 28 kids.
Brent Hubbs, VolQuest.com, with us this morning.
Brent, is there anyone in this early signing class that he definitely needs to make sure that he gets?
All of them. not trying to be a smart ass, yeah. But I mean, they need help.
Yeah.
I mean, this team accomplished a lot of things this year beyond what some people, expected, including myself. But we saw where they were exposed in a lot of areas, right? They've got to close with defensive linemen. They need every one of them they can get. They're looking at taking as many as five defensive backs, and that was a unit that had some depth this year. There's a lot of parts. Justin Williams is going to visit this weekend. That's a running back from down in Georgia that's got Tennessee, Auburn. I think he's an important get for Tennessee. Obviously, the quarterback position is important. You do not want to live in the transfer portal at quarterback for years upon years. You want to get your guy in here. So Taven Jackson, who's committed to Tennessee, is an important get for sure. I think Caleb Webb, the receiver I just spoke of, is important because of what you're losing with Bayless Jones and Javonte Payton. And you're always projected 2 years from now. We know Cedric Tillman 2 years from now is not going to be here. So I think getting outside speed at the receiver position on offense, a quarterback, a running back, and then on the defensive side, defensive linemen, edge rush guys. I mean, you need guys you can pair up with Byron Young, right? Byron Young's not a guy who's going to be here for a long period of time as a junior college transfer. But you saw Byron Young have the ability to close, his closing speed and explosiveness. They need more of that on the defensive side of the ball. So really, they really do need everybody and everything that they've got going right now.
Brent Hubbs of VonQuest.com with us this morning. Brent, the bowl selections and Purdue in the Music City Bowl, your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I think from a matchup standpoint, that's an interesting matchup, probably one that's favorable to Tennessee. I do think Purdue's a little different than your traditional Big Ten team from the standpoint they will spread it out. They will throw it more. They will run the football with the quarterback a little bit, which is a problem for Tennessee and has been a problem. But I still think Tennessee, in a lot of ways, this is a favorable matchup for them. I think the biggest takeaway from the bowl season this year is, and I described it to somebody this way a couple of days ago, bowl selection has become the old NCAA men's basketball selection in that you're not really sure what bowls are looking for from year to year, and you're not really sure what the conference is looking for in the bowl selections from year to year. This was a year where I thought anybody could have gone to Florida, and everybody wanted to go to Florida. I think Tennessee would have liked to have gone to Florida. Certainly A&M, Kentucky, Arkansas wanted to go. And what the SEC did in slotting teams this year was very simple. They said, hey, those teams with the better records end up in Florida. And that's how those teams are there, and Tennessee's in Nashville for the Music City Bowl. In years past, that's not been the case. So you don't know. It's like some years, if you win your last 10, that helps your seeding, and some years it's RPI, and some years it's conference record. And that's the thing I think is maddening to some people, is nobody really knows what the SEC is doing or what they're looking for when they slot teams. I'm not saying the Outback Bowl is upset with Arkansas, Penn State, because that game's going to sell out. Arkansas fans are happy. But I will tell you this, I think the Outback Bowl would have loved to have had a Tennessee-Penn State matchup, and I think the SEC wasn't going to slot in that direction because they were rewarding the teams with the best records in the league by sending them to Florida outside of the New Year's Six in the playoff picture, obviously.
So Tennessee and Purdue playing on the 30th in Music City. As far as the matchup and personnel, Brent, obviously Alante Taylor's already left the program. Do you expect that number to rise, or by now we should have known that?
Well, I think the biggest question is health. I mean, if anybody's opting out now, it would be – and again, I think Alante Taylor is only opting out because of the foot injury and the concern he has with getting that well. I think at this point, anybody else that misses would be due to injury. And you know, the biggest name on that list to me is Cade Mays. How does that ankle respond? Does he try to go? Is the ankle need, you know, he's battled it for 2 months. Does he need a full, you know, 6 weeks off of that thing before he goes and tries to get ready for the draft, assuming that's what he's going to do? And I believe that to be the case, and I believe that for a while based on my conversation with Cade. So I think that's the one big concern for Tennessee. I think everybody else is planning on playing in the game. I don't think you're going to see a sled load of opt-outs or anything like that from Tennessee players.
Brent Hubbs of VonQuest.com with us this morning.
You know, Brent, when you talk about this bowl game, and I've noticed it in the past, that you got some teams that come in there and they take it serious, and they treat it somewhat of a business trip. You got some teams that treat it sometimes as a vacation. Tennessee has usually treated it like a business trip, even though they've had fun in the past. Do you kind of get that sense that they're looking at it this way also?
Yeah, I mean, I think this – I will be surprised if this team's not focused and ready to play for two reasons. One, I think that's who this team is. I think they enjoy playing the game. I think they enjoy the way the coaching staff coaches on the practice field and goes about preparing guys to play. And two, this is no offense to the city of Nashville because it's a fun city. There's not going to be as much distraction. You got a shorter window in which you're there. Tennessee will go out on the 26th. They'll practice the 26th, 27th, 28th, walk through on the 29th. Or actually, they'll walk through on the 28th, practice a little bit on the 29th, play on the 30th, and that's it. There's not a lot of beach days. There's not a lot of, you know, it's not like you're there for 8 or 9 days. You know, the old Tax Slayer Bowl was a little bit harder to focus on because that game was on the second, you know, so you went down to 26, you had 2 extra days in there to do things. And this is a little bit of a quicker trip. It's a shorter trip from a travel standpoint. It's a city a lot of these guys on the team already know. So there's not a lot of exploring and new stuff out there. So I do think Tennessee will be focused. They stay at the Opryland Hotel. So if you're going to, if you're going to go to downtown Nashville, you know, that's pretty good Uber ride, pretty good cab ride to get there from there. So it's a little bit more isolated in some ways than some other bowl games, which is probably not necessarily a bad thing. But I think there's maturity in this team. I think Josh Heupel allows this team to have a good time. It's not all about, you know, the football grind all the time. And I think as a result, this team wants to get to 8 wins. This group of seniors that have led so well, Kenny, wants to continue to leave a legacy of improving this program. And I think winning a bowl game falls into that category.
Do you think with a victory over a Purdue in a bowl game in the final 25, do they have a chance of maybe sneaking in at the bottom?
Perhaps, depending on how some other bowl games go. They will certainly leave a high impression on people, particularly if they score a bunch of points when people go back and look at it. And I think some of that oftentimes is dictated a little bit by how young a team appears to be, how many guys are coming back. Sometimes that helps you jump up in the rankings. And, you know, I do think there's a chance that Tennessee could finish there, which would be a heck of an accomplishment for this team. So, you know, again, I think this team's enjoyable to watch, and I think this team has fun playing, which is why I think this team has a chance to perform well in a bowl game for sure.
Enjoyable to watch and fun team. Obviously, we're not talking about basketball last night at Madison Square Garden, are we?
Can we blame that on tight rims? Or
sure.
Maybe somebody left the garage door open and there was a wind blowing through there.
That was
some ugly, ugly shooting last night. And you know, that's a concern that has to be there for this basketball team, because when you look at their losses this year against quality opponents who can really defend, Tennessee has just struggled to score. They've not shot the basketball very well at all. And they've got to build and grow. I don't panic. I know a lot of fans, and we had it on our message board last night. It was just the gnashing of the teeth. I mean, it's December the 8th. If you're playing your best basketball right now of the season, that's not good. Tennessee obviously was ugly last night on the offensive end of the floor, yet they still had a chance to win the game, which means they were okay defensively. But they have got to get a little more, that, you know, they've got to be able to score and find ways to score. You know, Kennedy Chandler had a harder time getting to the rim. Texas Tech was trying to limit that, and they did that. So Tennessee's got to find some counter things to when the three-point shot's not falling, and obviously it wasn't last night. So eye-opener, plenty for Tennessee to work on. Tennessee's getting ready to go into a stretch here with no school as final exams are completing and being done. And so I think this is a chance to really dial in and get all about basketball for an extended period of time. And this team's really got to grow offensively during that stretch.
Yeah, I was just about to say, did Texas Tech give up a blueprint of how to maybe shut down Kennedy Chandler? Because when he wasn't making from the outside and he tried to take it inside, he's basically met by a wall of Red Raiders.
Yeah, they did. I mean, they built a wall around it. They played the high ball screen, you know, and Tennessee couldn't get into that action because of some of the defensive stuff that Texas Tech was doing. And I think everybody out there right now, with the exception of Santiago, is probably looking at this Tennessee team going, you know what, I'm going to dare him to shoot from the three. Maybe Powell, they want to defend a little harder. But I think people are going to back off Zakai Ziegler. They're going to back off Kennedy Chandler and try to keep those two guys in front of them and say, hey, if you got a night where you can beat us shooting the three ball, we'll take our chances there. We will take our chances with you in that shot, as opposed to, you know, getting into a man situation with some high ball screen and let you go to the rim and finish at the rim and create that way. I think that is a blueprint that I think everybody's going to try to mimic. It's harder to do. Texas Tech is obviously a very good defensive team. But that's the Tennessee's got to have a better counterpunch to when they get that kind of defensive look.
You know, when you take a look at the women's basketball team, obviously they were able to pull out a win the other day against Virginia Tech. It looks kind of obvious that maybe they're saving Ray Burrell until the conference gets underway because there's still not any sign that she's ready to get back on the court.
No, but I'll say this for that team and for where they are right now and what they're about. You want your team to take on your personality of your head coach. And if anybody remembers, she was Kelly Jolly back then, but Coach Harper's play in a Lady Vol uniform, tough, gritty, defended like crazy. That's this basketball team. I'm not saying they're going to go win the thing because, you know, they're getting ready to play much better competition. You know, there's still moments where they have scoring droughts and they still have plenty of things for themselves to work on, but they can rebound the basketball and they defend the way she wants defenses, the way she wants her teams to defend. They have her personality on that end of the floor, which will give them a chance. They've been fun to watch, you know, in the top 10 now, and there's no back down to them. They've found ways to win in the fourth quarter. They've just got a lot of grit about them, which is who she is and what she's about. I know she's enjoying coaching this team because of the way they go to work.
Let me ask you one last football question for me. The college football rankings, the Final Four, did they get it right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was the biggest no-brainer that there was once you had Oklahoma State lose that game. I think that became a no-brainer there. And there was no way that Alabama, having beaten Georgia, was going to fall out of the top four. So I think that became easier. You know, Notre Dame, had Alabama lost, I think Notre Dame would have gotten in. I think the committee's biggest concern was Georgia winning and Oklahoma State winning, because then is State automatically in, or where's the Notre Dame factor at that point? But when Oklahoma State took themselves out of the equation – and Alabama won, that's the easiest Final Four that they're going to have to pick. That one was pretty much a no-brainer to me. Now, we'll say, I mean, everybody's going to want to know, does Cincinnati belong? We'll find out. But they deserve to be there. They're unbeaten. They won at Notre Dame. They took care of their business. So, they deserve to be there. Georgia had an ugly night. I don't think Georgia deserved to fall out of the top four. Alabama goes and manhandles the number one team, the perceived best team by far in college football in Georgia. So they deserve to be there, in my opinion. And then Michigan certainly earned their right to be there with what they got done and winning, you know, against Ohio State, and then coming back a week later and manhandling Iowa in their championship game. So I thought for the committee that would have been, you know, that was the shortest meeting they needed to ever have in terms of figuring out who your Final Four were.
Do you think Bryce Young pretty much nailed down the Heisman with his performance?
Yeah, I think his last two performances, when you go 99 yards or 98, or whatever the number was, 95 yards against Auburn in the final minute and a half to get that game to overtime, and then you win it in overtime. That's that proverbial Heisman moment. And then you back that up by scorching the number one defense in the country, a defense that only Tennessee had scored more than 14 points against or 17 points against, and Bryce Young went out and carved them up. I will be stunned if Bryce Young is not standing at the podium accepting the Heisman Trophy, because he was at his best when Alabama was their most desperate, okay? I mean, in the fourth quarter against Auburn, you're watching their playoff dreams get dashed before your eyes. They look done. His receivers are dropping balls. They're not playing well. And then all of a sudden, bam, here they go. He has the moment there, and then he follows it up with his best performance of the year against Georgia.
Brent, what's up on VolQuest.com on this Wednesday?
A story up on Marquise Gilbert, who's a junior college defensive back that Josh Heupel saw yesterday. Got a story up. Tennessee's in the final three there, so we've got the latest from him after the Josh Heupel visit. We'll have much more a little bit later this morning on recruiting notes in terms of coaches' travel, where they've been, a little bit of where they're going here, what the visit board looks like coming up this weekend. So kind of putting the roadmap out there for the final couple of days. That's coming up here in a couple of hours. And then we've got some more recruiting stuff coming up later today. We've also got a story with a kind of a deep dive into Purdue and what they're about, who they're about, and a little bit of a first glance matching up the opponent. So plenty of things going on. Tennessee returns to the practice field on Saturday to officially start bowl practice. Josh Heupel will meet the media then. We'll have more on that. Then we'll have more from Tennessee from a basketball standpoint as the Volunteers will get back on the floor on Saturday and try to get the taste out of their mouth from that one last night. So plenty of things going on, plenty of conversation on the message board as well. It's the wild time of the year here. Hopefully the carousel and coaches is slowing down a little bit, but it's certainly a fast and furious race to the finish line for recruiting.
Certainly there are specific Christmas gifts. I've got a friend at church. He's always waiting for his New Year's subscription to VolQuest. It's always a good Christmas gift, isn't it?
It is, and you can certainly take care of that and get a gift subscription for somebody. You can get that set up for them without any difficulty and can take care of business that way. And if you have any issue with that, somebody has a problem somehow making that work, you can always email me at volquest@insertlaughtrackaol.com, and I'll help anybody out that has a problem with that.
That just means you've been doing this a while. That's what that means.
That's exactly what it means. Been doing it way too long, guys. That's why my hair is going white, not gray. We're going white.
I got you. It ain't coming back. All right. Thanks, buddy. We appreciate it.
Thanks, man.
All right. See you guys. Have a good one.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.